1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the reading in public of your word once again, Lord. What a privilege that is and a blessing. We would look to you, Lord, to add your blessing to that. And Father, pray now that you would grant to us eyes to see, ears to hear, Lord, that which the Spirit of God would have for us this morning. Lord, we know we're here by divine appointment. And so, Lord, there'll be something for each and every one of us from thy word today. And, Lord, that's not the question, really. The question is, do we hear and do what you tell us? So we pray you'd give us grace, Lord, to respond in a way that would be pleasing and honouring to you. And we give you thanks now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I want to have a look at verse 12. We've done this over the years. Come back to this verse. I think it's a very important verse, as all verses in the Scriptures are. But we are all an example to someone. Paul says to Timothy, let no man despise our youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And every one of us is an example to someone. Some of us will have a greater, scope, a greater range, a greater width of people we're an example to, but we all are an example. And so the question is, well, not am I an example, but really the question ought to be, what sort of example am I to other people, both to believers and to the world? What sort of an example am I? If the world were to look at us, would they say, well, those people are different. They are obviously Christians. We can tell by the way they live, by the way they speak, by the way they carry themselves. We can tell that these people are different, and thereby we are a good example to the world. Then when it comes to other believers, are we a good example? Can we say, as the Apostle Paul often did, follow me? You have a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and the Apostle Paul encourages the believers there with these words in verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me, He said, I beseech you, I beg of you, be followers of me. Now, question, can you and I say that to one another? Are we able to say, could you come up here this morning and say, now, brethren, I beseech you, follow me. Be ye followers of me. Could we say that as the Apostle Paul could? You have a look in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. He enlarges upon that just a little bit, but he says there in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, be ye followers of me, and notice what he says, even as I also am of Christ. So the first reference we read, he says, I beseech you, be followers of me, follow me. And now he says, even as I also am a follower of Christ. Can we say that this morning? Can you and I say that? Be followers of me as I follow Christ. I follow the Lord Jesus. I walk in his footsteps. I walk even as he walked, as 1 John tells us to do. And so therefore I can say, brethren, follow me as I follow Christ. Now these are, to me, these are searching thoughts, because one day we're all going to give account to God. But we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, that every man may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Whether good or bad, we're going to give an account. And so we need to think about these matters, think about these issues. Can we stand up? If I said, look, we're going to take some time this morning, we're going to do something different. We've never done it before, we may never do it again. But one by one, we want everybody to come up, one at a time, and see whether they can stand up and say, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. I wonder if we could all do that. Now, I'm not going to do that. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. And I don't know whether you could do that or not. God alone knows our hearts. But I believe that's a challenging thought. Can we stand up and say, you follow me as I follow Christ? And I don't think he's saying, well, you know, as some would put it, well, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, someplace I don't follow Christ, but most times I do. I don't think Paul was saying that. I think Paul was saying, listen, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore you need to follow me as I'm a follower of his. I don't think Paul was saying either that he was perfect, that he did everything in a perfect way, but his heart's desire, his manner of life, the way he lived was, I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might put it in the Lord Jesus terms, I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Now, we won't take time to spell all that out this morning, but think about that. Can I say, be a follower of me? Even as Paul said, I beseech you, be a follower of me. You have a look in Philippians and see what Paul said there to the church at Philippi. In Philippians chapter 3, and notice what he says in verse 17. Again, this thought. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Be followers together of me. In verse 9 of chapter 4, he says this. In Philippians 4:9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Paul says, be followers of me. Those things which I've taught you, those things which you've learned from me, those things which you have seen in me. Paul wasn't one of these, look, don't do what I do what I say kind of people. Paul said, I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that. You've observed that. You've heard that. You've watched that. Now follow me as I follow Christ. I beseech you that you do that. And so that's just by way of introduction. We come back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, because in this verse 12, Paul is admonishing and encouraging the man Timothy. It says young man. That word there has the idea of someone from 40 years old and under. So it's not talking necessarily about a 5-year-old or a 20-year-old. It could be that. But he's known Timothy now for probably 10 or 15 years and so forth. So he's somewhere in that range up to maybe 40 years old. So biblically speaking, he's still a young man. Amen? And so he says, let no man despise thy youth. In other words, don't allow people just to look down on you, say, well, you're just too young. Don't let people say to you, look, you're too young. You know, young people, you need to be careful. The devil will come along and say, look, you're just too young. You don't need to worry about it yet. You know, you kind of get a little bit older and you learn a bit more. And you know, then you can stand up and say, be followers of me. But no, that's not the case. You know, as young people, we ought to be able to stand up before our peers and before others and say, be followers of me. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know I am. You've seen it. You've heard me speak about it. You know I talk about the things of God. You know that I am a follower of the Lord Jesus. Be ye therefore followers of me. That's how it ought to be, amen? And so he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. He says, be a pattern or a model to follow. We are to be model Christians in that sense. And then he goes into these different areas in which he is encouraging Timothy in. And we've all heard of them before, so you're not going to get anything new this morning, but I wanted just to remind us of these things. Can we stand up here this morning and say, I want you to be followers of me in word. In word, in the way I speak, the way I talk. I want you to be a follower of me in the way I talk. And we're not talking about being cool this morning, amen? You know, you say, got any little problems with that? I just, you know, kind of, I know everybody says things are cool and everything else, but I'll just let you on a little secret. Confess your faults one to another, the Bible says. When I hear people talking about things being cool and wicked, you know what it does for me? It irritates me. You say, that's because you're old. Maybe. When something's cool, that means it's not hot, right? When something's wicked, that's what it is. It's evil. But young people in the world out there, and I trust nobody here speaks like that, go around saying, man, isn't that wicked? Well, the Bible says we're to be an example in word. That's not a good example. It's an example, all right? It's an example of worldliness. I can't imagine, I don't know about you, but I can't imagine the Lord Jesus walking along there and somewhere down there and in Jerusalem and going past the temple there and saying, isn't that cool? Man, look at that priest. Doesn't he look wicked? Well, he did say that in a sense. You know, he didn't say he looked wicked. He said he was wicked. He said on the inside he was like a whited sepulchre on the outside, but full of dead men's bones. In that sense, he said he was wicked. But he didn't say it in the sense that it's used today in this slang talk we have. Ah, that's cool, man. That's wicked. Well, try another word. There's plenty of others in the dictionary. I've got a dictionary at home about that thick. I'm sure we could find another word that would suit the occasion, amen? So what do you do? I'm trying to give you an English lesson to update our language. So that we can say, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. In word. You have a look in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12. In verse 34, the Lord Jesus now speaks about these people. And says of them in verse 34, O generation of vipers. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In other words, what's coming out is a reflection of what's on the inside. Well, that's cool. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now notice he says in verse 36, But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So you don't have to give account to me, but you do have to give account to the Lord one day. And you're going to have to give account to the Lord how you deal with this aspect of our speech, or in how we talk in word. Am I an example in word? In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul gives us a number of areas where we are to be careful in the manner of speech. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 15, Paul says this, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Now, I trust this morning, when I say that I'm irritated about when I hear people saying cool and wicked, I hope you don't take that as a personal attack, that I'm not being critical for the sake of being critical. I trust that it comes across in love, because we are to be like Christ. Amen? And God's plan in Romans says that we are predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ. And so it's because I am concerned, I trust, that we are to be Christ-like, not like the world, and speak like the world. And so we are to speak the truth in love. Now, one of the problems with the truth is, it's painful sometimes, isn't it? It's painful. God says, "You're a rotten sinner." I go, "I'm not that bad. Sometimes I might slip up." But it hurts, doesn't it, in that sense? The truth, you know, you've heard the expression, the truth hurts. Well, it's our response to the truth that hurts sometimes more than the truth itself. And so Paul says we're to speak the truth in love. He goes in verse 25, same chapter, Ephesians. And remember, that he's speaking to believers here. He's not addressing the non-Christian out there in the world. He says in verse 25, chapter 4, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour." All right, Paul says, I don't want you to be lying as believers. Speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. You have a look in verse 29. Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Is this edifying what we are saying? Is this ministering grace to people who are hearing us? You have a look in verse 31. Same chapter, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and," notice, "evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Evil speaking. This is believers again, remember. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, same book, Ephesians, and verse 4, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." But rather giving of thanks. I appreciate that hymn we sang this morning, "Count your many blessings, see what God hath done," giving thanks for what God has done. So in word, the way we talk to others, do we show respect for others? Young people, do you show in your speech, do you show respect for those who are in authority? Do you show respect for parents? Do you show respect about those who are in authority? Is that how it is perceived by others? Or is it a careless kind of attitude? Respect. The way we talk about others. This business of the tongue, it's a big subject, isn't it? It goes on a long way. How do we talk about others? Oh, you mumble, mumble, mumble. How do we talk about others? How do we talk? What sort of an example are we? Do we have a critical spirit? Always seeing the negative in people. Always seeing their faults. And then what we do is then we go and tell everybody else about it. We gossip about it. Oh, you wouldn't believe about so-and-so. And man, I saw him this and I saw that, and away we go. What, the way we talk to others, the way we talk about others, the things we talk about. You know, Alvin's not here this morning. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying this. I was talking to him just the other day, and we were talking about witnessing to people and the things we talk about with people. And he said, when I'm with people, I always just talk about the Lord. He said, what else do you talk about? I love it. Amen. What else do you talk about? That's a good question. What else do you talk about that's worthwhile? I mean, yeah, talk about the weather. Yeah, they got it wrong again. Okay, let's... the things we talk about. The way we talk. Do we put others down and critical? How do we talk? Be an example, Paul says, in word and in conversation, in manner of life, the way we conduct ourselves. Not just what we say, but in the way we conduct ourselves. Can people look and say, yeah, I reckon they'd be Christians, those people. You can just tell. There's something different about them. You ever heard people say that? Have you ever had anybody say something to you? There's something different about you. Maybe it's been in the workplace or somewhere else, and someone's said to you, or the feedback has come back from another person saying, those people think there's something different about you. And I'm talking now in a positive sense. Do people have that view of us, our conversation, our manner of life? How do we present ourselves to others so that we are an example to them? Paul says, in word, in conversation, in charity, or in love. We know the two commandments the Lord Jesus said, to love God. Are we known as people who love God? Do we love God, and do we love others as we ought to? We won't take time to look at that this morning, but it's a very challenging thought. Are we loving others as the Lord Jesus loved us? And we've been looking at it in our studies in 1 John on Sunday nights, that great commandment we have to love one another. But are we an example of that to the brethren and to those looking on? And then he says there also in this verse, not only in word and in our conversation or manner of life or in charity or in love, but in spirit. What sort of spirit, what sort of attitude comes across? You know, the people, when they meet us, what sort of a spirit is there? It's interesting, I don't know about you, but sometimes I like watching people walking around and different things like that. You know, you go outside and you watch someone and you just look at that and say, oh, look at that. You say, you're judgmental. Well, just relax for a minute. I'm just making some observations. You see some people and there's a, you know, you look at these guys on their big Harley motorbikes. And there's a certain spirit about that, isn't there? That's just, you know, have a look at me. I've got a Harley. I noticed, if you want one, I noticed them advertised the other day, brand new, starting from $56,000 upwards. So anytime you want to get one, I think there's a dealer in Narracourt or somewhere, just a free plug for them. But there's a certain spirit about those fellows who ride that sort of thing. You say, what's wrong with riding a Harley? Probably nothing, except a bit loud. But there's a spirit that goes with that. There's a certain attitude that goes with that. And that's what Paul's talking about. What sort of spirit, what sort of an attitude? You have a look in Luke chapter 9 and you see the disciples, the attitude or the spirit they had at one time. And the Lord Jesus had to deal with them about that. But in Luke chapter 9... And in verse 51 and following, the Bible says in Luke 9, verse 51, and it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? They said, Lord, I don't like their attitude. How about we call down some fire and just destroy them all? That'll teach them. Notice what the Lord Jesus said in verse 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. He said, you've got a bad spirit there. You've got a wrong spirit. You've got a wrong attitude, a bad attitude. For why? The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You think about it. What sort of a spirit do we have when we look at the lost? Do we have a spirit like the Lord Jesus who looks at them and says they're lost, they need to get saved, someone ought to talk to them? Or are we a little more like the disciples, serve them right? You know, that's their problem. Our attitude says that. Maybe our words don't, but our attitude and our actions say that. What sort of a spirit do we have? Do we have a Christ-like spirit? Do you remember in 1 Peter chapter 3, and Paul was talking about ladies who have the difficulty of a disobedient husband, and he said, here's how you're going to win them, by having that spirit which is of a great price in the sight of God, that meek and quiet spirit that will be a rebuke and a challenge to them. And so the Lord tells us through Paul as he writes to Timothy, we need to have that right Christ-like spirit, that spirit that doesn't come across like the disciples. Well, Lord, how about we call down fire from heaven and just burn them up? The Lord says, you've got a wrong spirit there. I haven't come to destroy. I've come to save people. I haven't come to destroy them. I've come to save them. Is that the spirit we have? Paul says, not only in spirit, but he says also in faith. In faith, do people see that we are living by faith or in faith? Do we have that sort of an example to others? Or are we always worried and stressed and out of joint? Well, where's the trust? Where's the faith in God? Well, where's our faith and trust in God? That ought to be seen. Other people ought to be able to look at us and say, there's a man or there's a woman, there's a young person who trusts the Lord. They have their struggles, but they're trusting in the Lord. You can see it. Their words, their attitude, their spirit tells us that they are trusting in the Lord. Whether it's in good times, bad times, whatever times, there's that example that says we're trusting in God. Our faith is in the Lord. And it's obvious. They're living in accord to the Word of God, and they are trusting in the Lord. And how many times have we said it, and we'll probably say it again till the Lord comes, when things are going well, isn't it easy to be just trusting the Lord? Everything's going good. Simply trusting every day. Oh, it's so easy. And then one of the wheels gets a flat tire or comes off, and then that's when we're going to be the example, amen. We can all praise God and cheer when things are going well, but we need to be an example when things don't seem to be going so well. An example in faith. Where do we go when we do get into a little bit of a hot spot? Do we come back to the Scriptures and we come back to the Lord? In other words, do we respond in faith to what's taking place? And then that final one there in that verse where Paul says we are to be an example in purity. In purity, in Christ-likeness. You know, chapter 5, he spells it out in verse 2, doesn't he? He talks first of all in verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Purity. Are we an example in purity? Remember in Philippians chapter 4, where Paul deals in verse 8 with our thought life, and one of the things he says there about our thought life, that our thought life should be pure. Pure. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure. Pure. Are we an example? Are we an example in purity? Timothy, Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I wonder again as we close out this morning, would we be able to stand up and be like the Apostle Paul and say, be followers of me, even as I follow Christ. Follow me, even as I follow Christ. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather once again. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it's a living Word, Lord. This is not just something that Paul sat down and dreamed up. This is indeed something that comes from the living God. It's a living Word. It's quick. It's powerful. It divides even right down into the discerner and thoughts and intents of our hearts. And, Lord, it's a challenge to all of us, really, to think about that. Could we stand up and be like the Apostle Paul and say, be followers of me. I beseech you, follow me, even as I follow the Lord. In each of these areas we've spoken about, Lord, and we know and we acknowledge, Lord, that we're not perfect. We understand that. And, Lord, we ask for forgiveness, Lord, where we have sinned in some of these areas, Lord. And we pray that you'd help us to have the victory, that we would be able to stand before others, and we would be able to say, be followers of me. And Lord, even if we're never brought to that place, that our very lives would speak out, be followers of me as I follow Christ. Father, we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.